Our screen is newer. Come close to the end now of the book of Colossians. It'll be Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. Hear the word of our Lord. Conduct yourself wisely toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so you may know how you ought to answer each person. I'm going to ask the young children if they'll come up front. Two more coming. Good morning. Who knows what this is? A watch. What do you do with a watch? Do you tell it the time, or does it tell you the time?
It tells you the time.
It tells you the time. But this is a special watch. Instead of telling me the time, I tell it the time. Like right now. It says it's after 11 o'clock, but it's not. So what time should we tell it to be? 10 o'clock? Okay, let's go back to 10 o'clock. Because what at 10 o'clock we have second breakfast. And there'll be donuts and grits and good things in the kitchen. 10 o'clock is a great time. Does anybody else have a favorite time?
Yes.
What?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock? What happens at 5 o'clock?
I love grits.
Yeah, I love grits too.
I don't. I don't.
What happens at 5 o'clock? Why do you love 5 o'clock?
Because
prayer.
Prayer?
Is this really a watch that I can tell what time? Tell the time? You know what another word for this watch is? A broken one. Because no matter what time I tell it, it should be, it's still actually the same time. Am I in charge of time?
No.
Are you in charge of time?
No.
No. You may think you are sometime. Who's in charge of time? Who's in charge?
God.
God is. And so what do we need to do in response to the time? Do we need to say, okay, here's what I want to do?
No.
What should we do?
Listen to God.
Listen to God. God's in charge of time, and he's in charge of us, right?
Yes.
And he's good, and he's wise. And so instead of telling him what we should be doing, we should be asking him, Lord, what would you have me do? And that's what our passage is about today. It tells us that we're to make the most of every opportunity. Who gives us opportunities?
God.
God does. Who wants to bless other people in those opportunities?
God.
But who's he going to bless those people through? You.
Yeah.
If you're listening to him. So instead of finding a special watch where you can try to tell it the time, the better way is to ask God, how would you have me use this time? So, let's go back to our seats and to listen well to how God would have us use the time, okay? With a word of prayer. Oh Lord, even now help us to make the most of this opportunity. Fill us with your Spirit. Show us Jesus and help us to follow him and who we are and what we say and all that we do to the praise of your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We live in a day that has rejected God as God. And because of that, there is no foundation. There is no definition of truth. In fact, you're left to define it for yourself and to try to get as many other people to believe the way you do. We saw that this week in the news. A PTA member who went on a tirade because someone dared to challenge and oppose critical race theory. And they just simply let loose with someone who opposes this is anti and basically listed every bad thing you could ever be. We have white supremacists denying humanity to 3/4 or 4/5 of the world's population, of people made in God's image. Because we've rejected God as God, we live in a world where you can choose not to work and demand that there be no consequences for that. The list goes on and on. And I'd put to you, that's why we, as God's people, need God's word. We need one another. We need prayer. We need the sacraments and the help of the Holy Spirit. So in a world that has rejected and hates God, we might continue to listen only to Him instead of the noise that's all around us all the time. And we might listen to God about how to love Him. And just as importantly, how to love those people who hate Him. To serve and to bless such people. It's much easier to judge them and just ask God to deal with them right now. But God's not doing that. Instead, He has called you and He has called me, all of us, to love and to serve and to bless. Just as He did for us when we were dead in our sins and trespasses. Throughout Colossians, Paul has been helping us to know that we are a new creation because Jesus Christ, who is supreme over all creation and supreme in redemption, that Jesus has set us free to love and glorify God and to bless others. We're now at the final instructions Paul has for the church. Last week we saw him call us to abide in prayer, not just for ourselves, but for all people, for our neighbor as well. And now Paul gives instruction on how to love your neighbor with the gospel as Jesus' new creations. He begins here with a call to walk in wisdom. Now, we studied Solomon a number of years ago, and we saw that that word wisdom that Solomon asked for had to do with having a hearing heart. And so if you're going to walk with wisdom, you need to have a hearing heart. You need first and foremost to always be listening to the Lord, to be asked to be filled with the Spirit who gives eyes to see and ears to hear because of that finished work of Jesus. That we might listen and know Jesus as Lord and Savior, receiving and resting in Him for all that He's done, is doing, and will do, so that we might draw near to God as our Father by the help of the Spirit and learn to live as Jesus lived, glorifying God and blessing others. But if wisdom is having a hearing heart, I would put to you, we also need to learn to listen to others. Every human being is made in God's image, and there's something we can learn from everyone, though often what we most will learn is how they need the Lord as Savior and Lord. Do you know God models that throughout Scripture? Starting back in Genesis 3, God begins with a question. He doesn't come and tell Adam, and He begins with a question. How often does He do that throughout Scripture? Go read the Gospels again. How often does Jesus open discussion by asking questions, listening, and then speaking heart truth into that circumstance? Walking in wisdom means to be listening. James put it this way, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The point here, though, is not just to be wise. It's to walk in wisdom. Paul's used that idea before to speak about how you live moment by moment in your daily life, submitting your thoughts, words, and deeds to Jesus as Lord. Walking in wisdom is about how to be God's blessing to others. I think we can reduce it simply down, walking in wisdom means walking with Jesus as Lord and living in His peace. The peace that He gives between us and God and the fullness of Him filling us up with Himself. Walking in wisdom and having peace would make you different from almost everyone you'll ever meet. But knowing Jesus as Lord also means walking in joy. The joy of belonging to Him. Of daily having provided all that you need, not all you want, but all that you need for life and for godliness. set free to glorify and enjoy Him and be His blessing to others. Walking with Jesus as Lord means being filled with hope that He is always at work for your good in every circumstance, in every situation, in all things. But even more than that, that He's prepared an eternal dwelling place with Him. And even now is preparing you for that place. See, walking in wisdom is about having a fullness of peace and joy and hope. Imagine the Colossian believers. They are a tiny minority in their city, their region. Out of all those people, they alone had received the gift of seeing the light of the glory of God in Christ Jesus their Lord. How do you share that with people who have no concept of glory or God or goodness? It's not hard to imagine what their lives are like because more and more we live in that world. Those that live in darkness but think they see clearly and are running towards the edge of the cliff of destruction, thinking they see clearly, trying to outrun their misery and grief and shame, trying to deny the condemnation that's overwhelming them, but heading towards death at an ever faster rate. The great need of Paul's day, of our day, of every day, is for God's people to walk in wisdom, showing forth His power, His goodness, His mercy, His glory for all to see. The challenge to wisdom is always going to be the noise in the world. But by God's help, He's given you His Spirit so that you can listen from the heart to He alone who is truth. And as you listen to Him, He shows you how to bless and to love your neighbor. In fact, that's the heart of this, to walk in wisdom toward outsiders. To walk in wisdom towards outsiders so as not to give them an excuse. And people, we need to be honest. The church has failed miserably at this. The church has been judgmental. The church has been narrow-minded. The church has thrown out the gospel and replaced it with lies. We need to confess and admit that and draw near to the Lord once again and be covered by His mercy that we too might be merciful. The church's calling has been and always will be to be salt and light, to live with Jesus as Lord in such a way that blesses others so that they're asking for a reason for the hope that is in us. You know, evangelism's not all that hard. All it is worshiping Jesus in front of people who don't know Him yet. How is Jesus showing you Himself in His Word, in, through His providence? And how are you sharing that with those that He brings into your life? Paul adds on here to make the best use of the time, or more succinctly, perhaps, the most of every opportunity. Literally, it means buying or redeeming the time. Simply put, though, it's simply making the most of every opportunity. Think about it. How often is God at work? How often do you remember God's always at work? Not all the time. Not enough of the time. But if you're walking in wisdom, part of that wisdom is you're seeing God's hand here and God's purposes there and God's truth directing you there and God's provision for you. To walk in foolishness is to be looking at yourself. And to want to crawl into a corner and hide because you know your resources are limited. But to walk in wisdom is to recognize God's always at work and to say, Lord, how would You have me make the most of this opportunity? You know, sometimes God sends opportunities. I went to play golf this week, as I do every week, and I have this app on my phone that shows me how busy golf courses are, and I avoid the super busy ones. And so Hard Labor Creek had a big group heading off at 2 o'clock, but I got there at 1:30. that group all got there early and started at 1:30, and it was going to be 2 hours before I could go play golf, and then I was going to be sitting around doing nothing at every hole with all those people in front of me. And so instead, I drove 20 minutes up to another course that's never busy. It's not as good as hard labor, but it's never busy. And I got there, and I paid, and there was a group that was finishing up the first hole, and I knew I was going to have wide open space. And as I was walking out of the shop, another young man walked in, and so when I got to the tee, I sat there waiting. I figured he'd come out, and I'd just play with him. That maybe this was an opportunity, but he didn't come out. And so I played the first hole, and then I caught up to that other group on the second hole. And so I said, and this fellow came up, and, golfers are gentlemen or gentlewomen and are polite, and I've never met a nasty person on a golf course. I'm sure there's some out there. But as it turns out, this fellow had grown up in Korea. Oh, I've been to Korea. And I said, I had the privilege of being in your country in 1985. 1985, I think I was in elementary school. He was obviously younger than me, which meant he had to respect me because I'm older. That's part of their culture. Imagine a culture like that. And slowly over the course of 16 holes, I got to tell him who I am and what I did. Make sure he's not here this morning. But he said he's been looking for a church, and lo and behold, he works in Covington, even though we were up in Monroe where we were playing. And so he'd say he'd come to church. Now, that may have just been politeness, but again, there was a God sent that opportunity. It wasn't my plan. When's God doing that for you? All the time? Are you asking him how to make the most of those opportunities? You know, sometimes God sends us, but sometimes God says, you go. In fact, isn't that exactly what your Lord has said? In your going, make disciples, teaching them to obey everything. See, the idea here again is that we're to always be looking. Not that we're there to fix someone or change them or make them better. That's above your pay grade. Your calling is simply to be faithful. And to make the most of the opportunity. Lord, what's the opportunity here? Is it to buy them a meal? Is it to simply speak some words to them? Or is it to share the gospel with them? Lord, what would you have me do, and how would you have me do it? And that starts with you individually, but ultimately it's got to lead to you inviting them to church to meet the rest of us. Because Jesus is here with us by the Holy Spirit. And that's where they'll see him. But make no mistake, your good news does not just happen with you living wisely, but with words. And so Paul makes clear here, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so you may know how you ought to answer each person. Gracious. Part of what that includes is civility. Because every human being is made in the image of God, we are to treat them as such. Now, I understand some neighbors make that difficult. Some neighbors make it seem impossible. But Christ's grace is greater than that. And let's just be clear here. You're not to be that kind of neighbor. You're to be welcoming. I took the dog for our morning constitutional this morning, and half of my neighborhood was out walking. And what a pleasure it was that I knew most of them and could talk to them, and most of them knew who I was and where I was about to go. Are you gracious? You know, gracious speech is the opposite of what we saw back in chapter 3. Speech that was characterized by anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, lying. Those things are all to be put away. But grace, that requires more than civility. Gracious words are just that, full of grace. Words that edify, build up, encourage, and most of all, help people to see Jesus. Gracious speech comes as you are filled with the means of grace. with God's word, with prayer, with fellowship and sacrament. That stuff bubbles out over us as we're filled up by the Holy Spirit's power. We are to speak out of the overflow of the heart. And if the Spirit is filling us up, there's always an overflow. Are you drawing near to the Lord and receiving His grace so that your speech might be gracious? Paul adds on that it would be seasoned with salt. Salt was used in the ancient world to halt decay and to bring out the best of flavor. Speech that is thoughtful. Lord, how would you have me bless? What is it you would have me acknowledge in this person? How would you have me build them up? Lord, I don't know how to do this. Give me your Spirit who teaches me to speak and who fills me with seasoning that I might both speak against decay and bring out the best. Again, we saw this in our call to confession. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you with gentleness and respect. You are so to fill yourself with truth by the Spirit's power that you can answer every question, that you can deflate anger with grace, that you can guide people to the truth. Again, it's not your job to change them or fix them. Holy Spirit does that. The most amazing thing in the world is He does it through you. Are you listening? And are you passing that on? It's why we must be bathed in prayer, as the previous section encouraged. Here's the reality of your everyday life. God is constantly setting opportunities before you, all the time, in all kinds of places. Most of the all when you don't want it. I learned this lesson most clearly back when I was in college. I had two roommates who were not believers, who had never been to church. And one of them would wait, you know, we were engineering students and would study till 12 or 1 in the morning and then go to bed. But it was almost like clockwork. The minute I was drifting off to sleep, I would hear, "Hey, Rob, Lord, I just want to go to sleep. Why do you read the Bible?" God sets opportunity before you, not for your convenience, but according to His good plan. Are you walking in wisdom and daring to trust that when He sets an opportunity, He's already prepared that opportunity for you and you for it? And are you recognizing people are watching? Some of those people are your own children. How are you dealing with neighbors? How are you dealing with people at the store? How are you dealing with people you don't like? Are you recognizing the opportunity? Are you walking in wisdom, listening to the Lord, asking for His help, asking for His help to listen well to others, and for His word to fill you that you might be gracious, that you might halt decay and bring out the best? That's how we need to be praying for ourselves. That's how we need to be praying for one another. We live in a world that is rushing towards condemnation, that is foolishly begging for that condemnation. You're the hope God sets before that world. May God so bless us that He fills this building to overflowing. Because one day soon we'll get to heaven. And the only description the Scripture gives to us is myriad upon myriad upon myriad. I don't know what the definition of myriad is, except for a whole lot. And there's room for more. Recognize the opportunity and invite them in. Trust that the Lord is greater than your fear, greater than your inability, greater than your foolishness, and will bless those opportunities, that you'll know Him more, and that others might know Him at all. Let's pray. Oh Lord, open our hearts. open our hearts to be wise, to have our speech be gracious. Lord, help us to recognize those opportunities that you set before us. And then help us to answer each person with your word, with your truth, with your love and goodness and mercy. Help us, Lord, to glorify you in front of those who don't yet know you, that they too might come to know you and to have your peace and joy and hope and praise your glorious name now and forevermore. Amen.